1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I've been studying this book, and I really have enjoyed studying it, and I hope you've enjoyed studying it with me. And we get to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, which is a very, amongst churches, very controversial. I don't know if controversial, a very debated chapter, if you will, and what it's talking about. But I'm a firm believer that if you just read the Word of God and study it in context, God means what He says. And we can all read it. And I really believe with all my heart that we all have, if we're saved, the same Spirit of God living within us, who is the same teacher, and He'll always lead us into truth. Amen? And so we will look at this, asking God to speak to us. We started this chapter and a chapter before it. We've been looking at the gifts of the Lord's servants. Previous chapter, we talked about the gift of the Lord's Supper. Now we're looking at the gifts of the Lord's servants. And when there was some confusion about it that we looked at in the beginning of chapter number 12, as He gave us some information about these gifts. And then we left off there at verse number 11, and we're going to pick up in verse number 12 about some identification of the church here. So again, we ended last week in saying that God gives these gifts, these spiritual gifts, and these gifts are to be used for the glory of the Lord through His churches. And we ought to use the gift that God's given us for the glory of the Lord through the church. And we look at this, and we're going to talk about here this identification. And why would Paul talk about this? Because, again, the Lord intends for His people to use these gifts in the church. The Bible says in the epistles, "Unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." In 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 5 says that man is crowned if he strive lawfully. Since the time that Christ was on this earth, it has been God's plan that people serve Him through the local church. The Bible only teaches of a local, visible church. Now, there are many that teach a universal church theory. And there's, again, I think a lot of it is a battle of semantics. You know, if I could summarize real quick, all those that are saved are part of the family of God. Everyone that's saved is part of the family of God. Amen? All right. You're all staring at me already. I didn't even got started yet, all right? We're all part of the family of God, everyone that's saved. That's why we call each other brother and sister. Because I don't care where you are, be it here or over with the Cassidys and the folks that have been saved over there. Though I've never met them, they're my brothers in Christ and my sisters in Christ. We're all part of the family of God. I enjoyed even when we went down to Mexico to fill in for Brother Harris last month. You know, when we got there, I don't know a lot of what they said, but I understood hermano, all right? I was their brother, all right? And I thank the Lord for that. And I still get communication from some of them. I was talking to Brother Harris Thursday night, and one of the men down there, his name's Fabian, he sends a message to me about every day, and I write back to him, praise the Lord for Google Translator, all right? He writes it in Spanish, I translate it, and then I read what he says, and then I write what I want to back, translate it in Spanish, copy, paste, and he gets the message. Well, the last two times he sent me a message, he sent an audio message. Totally lost. I have no idea. So I told Brother Harris Thursday, I said, tell Fabian, I can't respond unless it is in text, all right? Because I have no way of translating that. And he laughed at me and said he would tell Fabian that. But you're probably wondering why I haven't answered in 3 days. But I have no idea what he said. I'm thankful that we went down there. When we left, we were there for three services. When we left, everybody hugged our necks. And we were family. And I'm thankful for that, to be part of the family of God. And we're family because, as all family is, we're family by blood. Amen? You'll get that if you think about it, all right? Through the blood of the Lord. Amen? All right. Y'all need to amen a little bit more, all right? So here we go, all right? But the New Testament teaches a local, visible body. Now, again, I'll say it, all right? I do not believe in an invisible, universal church. But I'll also add to that, I'm not mad about it. I've heard some people preach on it and they're kind of mad about it, all right? I'm not mad about it, all right? And, you know, again, I think a lot of people, it's a battle of words more than anything, but you can believe something and not be upset if someone doesn't believe exactly like you do, all right? Amen? You can be kind and speak the truth in. Thank you. All right, good. All right. But the Lord said, and I'll tell you why I believe this, all right, and in love, I'll tell you this, all right. But I believe this because the Lord said, I will build my church. The word church was not a new word when he used it. When he used the word church, the disciples did not say, well, what's a church again? All right. They knew exactly what word he was talking about. The word church means a called out assembly. The idea of a universal church came from Catholic doctrine. It came from Catholic doctrine because the Catholics had to make it up in order for a pope to be in charge of everybody. Otherwise, if he didn't have a universal body, which by the way, the word Catholic means universal. All right. So in order to have a universal church, you had to have that in order to be able to rationalize having one guy in charge of everything. You follow me? All right. So he came up with this, the Pope did, the Papal did, in order to enforce this doctrine of him being in charge of everything. That's not what the Bible teaches, and you all can agree on that, I hope, all right? But the fact is this, God never intended for a Pope to be in charge of all the churches. I'll tell you who the head of the church is, the Lord, all right? He is the head, and so you have here the Lord, again, he gave us the church. The Lord, I believe the church began with the Lord's ministry because I teach that and I believe that because that church there, before Pentecost, had the ordinances. They were given the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. They were given the Great Commission. Amen. They had a business meeting before Pentecost, all right? Amen. All right. They had 120 members before Pentecost. And at Pentecost, the Lord added to the church. You can't add to something that wasn't there already. Yay. Amen. All right. Y'all all stared at me, right? Y'all smile a little bit. I'm just trying to give you truth in love. All right. Yeah. All right. So you can't add to what's not there. Does that make sense? All right. You have to nod your head to that. It has to make sense to everybody, all right? And so you had two ordinances. You had the Great Commission. You had a business meeting. You had 120 members. And all those people that got saved had to be added to something. And the Bible says what they were added to. They were added to the church. And so that church was already there. By the way, they even had instructions on church discipline. In Matthew chapter 16, before any of those other things happened, the Lord said, this brother has done wrong. You are to tell it after you try to reach out to him, and then three others try to reach out to him. If they don't listen, you're to tell it to what? The church. So there was a church, and they understood what he was talking about. And a word church means a local called out assembly. And then you get like in this chapter, in chapter number 12 and verse number 27, where it says, now ye are the body of Christ, members in particular. You know, every one of us, as part of Cazadlo Baptist Temple, we are part of this body right here, members in particular. Now, the reason why I say this in verse number 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. I promise you, in the family of God out there, all those that are saved, there are many people that are suffering tonight. And you're not suffering with them because they're not part of your body. If there was this universal, we'd all have to be suffering with them, but you don't know anything going on in their life, do you? That's just a rational thing. I'll throw this at you, all right? The Bible also uses the word for the church, a flock. Amen? And we are to take heed, the Bible says, to take heed to the flock over which God hath made you the overseer. So there has to be local churches where God has placed people to be overseer of these churches. Right? Over the which God hath made you. All right? So every church has a pastor or pastors. Amen? Does that make sense? All right? There's not one big God made one person. That's Catholic teaching. All right? There in Revelation, every church is referred to as being a candlestick. Every church was its own candlestick. Again, the whole idea of a universal church came from that pope. And what it does, when you believe in universal church, you're lining up with that Catholic teaching that they invented to make way for their pope, but also it opens the door for parachurch organizations. It also lays the door open for people to be able to lay out a church and still feel like they're part of church. When God said not to forsake what? the assembling of ourselves together. But many people, and I know them, they live right around us and are friends and family of those, some, unfortunately, even within with us tonight, that there are people who are just out of church and they say, well, I'm still part of the church. And they rationalize it in the fact that there's this universal church out there, and there isn't. It takes away from authority. It's one of the reasons why it's so prevalent today is because people love a lack of authority. They don't want order. There's motivation within a church, and they don't want that. And I give you a bottom line why a lot of Baptists believe it's because Scofield said it. I praise the Lord for men like Scofield to study the Bible, but he wasn't perfect. And I will disagree with him on a universal church. There's a couple other things I disagree with him too, by the way, when it comes to creation and other things. But the fact is this, all right, he's not perfect. And it don't mean you have to throw away a Scofield Bible, all right? The Word of God is the Word of God, all right? But men's notes are just that, men's notes, all right? Always keep that in mind, all right? But in any case, that win you? Y'all love me? All right. Let's read our text, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We're going to study this tonight, starting in verse number 12. If you're able to, let's stand in respect to the Word of God as you read it. Follow along here as here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Let's pray. Father, I pray that would you just take this message now, use it for your honor and for your glory. Teach us your word. May the Spirit of God be in charge. Lord, I yield myself to you. And Lord, I ask for the Spirit to be in charge of every word that's spoken, the thoughts that are in our minds. And God, I just pray that, Lord, you just have your will in your way now. Speak to us. Teach us your word. And God, as the psalmist said, open our eyes that we would behold wondrous things out of thy law. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. And Lord, I mean that. And Lord, I ask you to teach us and use us tonight. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. So let's look at this now tonight. Why would Paul address this issue? Because he's talking about the gifts. The gifts that God's given us to use and where we are to use them. And we are to use them within the body. So you see the identification of the body here in verse 12 and in verse number 13. All right. First of all, I just want to say a few things. You see the audience here in verse number 12. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now again, when he speaks to this body, who is he speaking to? Well, you can look real quick if you want to back with me just in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and in verse number 2. It says this, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, this letter was addressed to the church there at Corinth. Now, it's for everyone to read, all right, but the group that it's written to is to the church here at Corinth. And when you get to chapter 12 and in verse number 27, now ye are the body of Christ. Now, this body here, this local church, this body that he's writing to there in verse number 12, as the body is one And verse number, it says for verse number 12, his body is one, hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. It is God's intention in verse number 23 that there be no schism there in the church, all right? God doesn't want the church to have any schism in it. When one member suffers, all the members should suffer. When we have someone in our church that's hurting, someone in our church that is going through a difficult time, it should affect every one of us. When one person's grieving, we all should grieve with them. When one person's rejoicing, we ought to rejoice with them. Now, that has to demand a local church, because I have no idea what's going on even just down the road at First Baptist at Goshen with Pastor Ivy. I have no idea who's rejoicing and who's not. I cannot rejoice with them and suffer with them. I don't know what's going on in their lives, but I do know what's going on within my local church. And it's a matter of the audience and then a matter of authority in verse number 13. It says, therefore, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. Now, again, many people like to talk about this, and let's look at it real quick. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, what is that one Spirit? That's obviously the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Now, what's going on when we read this? For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, I believe out of the many, many references in the Word of God, over 100 references to the church, there's a few cases where it's talking generally to, we as involved in a church, but it is most always, over 90-some percent of the time, referring to a local, visible, direct assembly. The church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, or whatever the case may be. And I have no problem with this verse at all. Look at verse, if you will, in verse number 3 in the same chapter. It says, now we've already studied this, so let's look at it and examine it. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Now there were some people, we've already talked about it, using the gifts that God has given, the gift of tongues, and they were speaking, and it was not of the Spirit. It was not of the Spirit. And we talked about it being a demonic in its nature. And Paul addressed that, and we already talked about a lot what's going on today in the terms of tongue speaking. Those that practice tongue speaking, I'm just telling you, the great majority has a demonic backing in it because that gift was done away with. But the fact is this, all right, you notice if someone truly was speaking at that time, this gift was still there, and if it was truly being done, look at verse number 3 again, I give to you understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God. What does by the Spirit of God mean? That they were under the direction and the authority of the Spirit of God. Right? That when they spoke, in that if it was really true, that it was the Spirit of God that told them what to do. Everybody catch that? That's good, right? Then we'll go on to verse number 8. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now some people had that gift of wisdom. Who told them what to say? You can answer. What is it? The Spirit, by the Spirit. The Spirit gave them the authority to say what they said. Right? Verse number 9. To another, faith by the same, what? Spirit. So one had this other gift by the authority of the Spirit. Then when you get down, again, just studying the Word of God in context, you get down here to verse number 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That does not mean that we had this special baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, in context, it's the same phrase used over and over in this passage of Scripture. It's talking about the authority of the Spirit of God. Y'all with me? That Spirit gave the authority to say in verse 3, that Spirit, by that Spirit, in verse 8, by that Spirit, in verse 9, by that Spirit, in verse 13. Same wording, same Spirit. Now, what is it saying? What did that Spirit lead to do? For by one Spirit, by the way, I'll stop there. There is no such thing in the Bible as being baptized with the Spirit. All right? Or baptized by the Spirit, sorry. All right? You're not baptized. The Spirit of God never does any baptizing. Jesus did the baptizing. All right? And the fact is this, there's some people that believe, and I say this why they use this verse out of context, that they believe, even like people like R.A. Torrey, which did some wonderful things, and I've enjoyed reading some of his books. But in one of his books, he said that every believer needs to draw a circle on the ground, sit in that circle, and not get up until you've been baptized by the Spirit. Well, I got news for, every one of us tonight, that when you got saved, you got the Spirit of God. You don't need a second blessing. You don't need this second baptism. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches against that. Turn over to Ephesians chapter number 4 real quick with me. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 4. Says this. Ephesians 4 and verse number 4. There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The fact is this, there is only one type of baptism. Just as there's only one type of church, and there's only one type of faith, and one type of whatever. But there's only one baptism. What is that baptism? That's someone who gets baptized in these waters. That is a scriptural baptism. There's only one baptism. You can't argue. That's what the Bible says. All right? You know, amen? Brother Dave, is that what it says? Good. Thank you. All right? One baptism. Now, if there's only one baptism, then there's many people that teach that, you know, you're looking for the second baptism. That is not in the Bible. That's foreign to the Word of God. And people have used that to explain a lot of the charismatic movement and things that are out there, and a lot of that leads to a demonic movement in a lot of different ways. But the fact is this, all right? There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that one baptism is a water baptism. Now we go back to our text, and then what is it talking about? It says in verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Well, let's just read it for what it says. You and I, when we got saved, praise God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit that came in our life. Now, after you got saved, I gave you the illustration this morning. Tony, little bus kid on my bus, got saved a couple weeks ago. He's been coming to church a long time. Got saved, and he came in, sat down next to me this morning, and said, "Pastor, I believe I need to get baptized." Now, I hadn't approached him yet. That was on his heart when he got on the bus. Now, who led him to have a desire in his heart to get baptized? The same one that put a desire in your heart to get baptized. The same one that put a desire in my heart to be baptized. The Spirit of God led us to follow the Lord in that act of obedience and following the Lord in the waters of baptism. You see in verse number 13, "For by one Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "under the authority," just as it is in verse 3, just as it is in verse 8, just as it is in verse number 9, "the Spirit of God spake to us and showed us that we are to be baptized. And when they got baptized, they were added to" what? "The church," which is the body. So by this one Spirit are we baptized into one body. You see, the Holy Spirit of God led us to follow him in baptism. It is a water baptism. There's only one baptism taught in the Bible, and that is a water scriptural baptism. And it doesn't matter whether, in the rest of that verse, whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, whether you're bond or free. In other words, it doesn't matter whether you, background you may have, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're Jew or Gentile, you're saved by the same way. And by the way, the same Spirit will lead you to be baptized. When you're baptized, you're added to the body. I explained that to Tony this morning, that if you get baptized, you're becoming a member of this church. And he wants to do that, and praise the Lord for it. Baptism is a door to church membership. And I say, why is this such a big deal? Well, it makes a big difference when you read the rest of the chapter. Because there are many who just decide they don't need the Lord's church, and they go out there and just use their gifts, and they say, they use this as their proof text. And again, I'm not mad about it. And if someone disagrees, it's a battle of semantics, like we're all part of the family of God, etc., etc. But the fact is this, it does make a difference when you start wanting to use the gifts that God's giving you. Because I'll go out on a little bit more of a limb, all right, and say this, all right. I think that God wants you to use your gifts primarily in your church. That doesn't mean that, if God wants, Brother Salih to go and preach, he's filling in for Brother Reeder, I think, next Sunday, right? Next Sunday morning, all right? Praise the Lord for that. But if he spends all of his time at Brother Reeder's and not here, this is not right. This is where God called him to be. I thank the Lord. All right, my wife can play the piano. She can sing beautifully. All right. And if someone wants to have her come over, she and I sang at Brother Castle's not too long ago, and you know, thank the Lord for that opportunity. But the fact is, if she's singing every Sunday somewhere but never at her church, something's not right about that. God wants you to use your gifts in your local church. That gives us a lot to think about. But we're led by the same Spirit. And we're led here to be baptized and added to this body. And we'll keep reading, all right? So you see identification of the body, and you see the importance of each member of the body. Verse number 14, you see the unity of the body. For the body is not one member, but many. Just as Travis Burke's body, all right, has two eyes, a nose, a mouth, two ears, all right? I got 10 fingers. One's a little crooked, all right? Brother Slee has 10 toes, but his big toe looks like a thumb, all right? But the fact is, all right, we all have, you know, our bodies made up of different members, but it's one body. And when one part of my body hurts, the whole of my body hurts. For instance, yesterday we went foot golfing, and the longer this day goes, my leg is killing me today, all right? And they're all the kids that went, most of them are a little achy today too, right? I talked to Brother Joshua. He's a little achy today too, right? Yeah, right. It affected us. So if you see me walking with a limp, it was foot golfing, right? But it was awesome. It was worth it. We're going again sometime, all right? But, one part of me hurts, the rest of me hurts. And I'm made up of many members, and there's unity there. And God expects for his churches to have unity. Praise the Lord for the unity at our church, for the harmony at our church. God wants us to have that. You see the uniqueness of the body in verse number 15. You see there's noted diversity in verse 15 and 16. If the foot shall say, behold, yeah, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, that's ridiculous, right? If my foot looks up and says, well, I'm not as popular as the hand, no one even gets to see me. The hand's out there, right? Gets all the glory. He's waving his hand during his preaching, right? But the foot, no one ever sees the foot, which is a good thing, right, Jason? Yeah, right? Jason hates feet. All right, right? But it's the foot can't say, well, that's it. I'm mad. I'm no longer part of this body. Well, that's ridiculous. Y'all can smile a little bit. It's supposed to be a ridiculous statement, all right? It's ridiculous because it's one body. I don't care who you are, if God has placed you in this body, you serve a great purpose. And there we're going to talk about it a little bit. Some are more comely than others. Some may not get all the attention, but every part is of great importance. And listen to me, every part greatly needed. You see here this, in the uniqueness of the body, a noted diversity, then you see that a needed diversity. I didn't read verse 16. If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not the body, is it therefore not the body? It's a rhetorical question. Verse number 17, the needed diversity. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Now, it's supposed to paint a kind of a funny picture in your head, right? There's a Disney cartoon where there's an eye creature, right? But that's not what this is, right? We're not a big eye. We're not a giant ear walking around. Thankful for that, all right? But we all have our own, verse 17, we all have our specific duties. Every one of us, if the whole body were an eye, or the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? Fact is, every one of us have a role to partake in. And it's all, verse number 18, because of a sovereign design. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it had pleased him. Do you know God has placed you where you are for a purpose? And it made God happy to put you where you are. Members of Gazadel, I know this is cruising through this passage, but Paul's trying to tell this church at Corinth, and the Holy Spirit left it for us, that wherever God has placed you, you have a purpose there. It's the devil that whispers in our ear and tries to tell us that, you know, we don't have a purpose. And if you sit there in your pew tonight and say, well, I don't really have a purpose at this church, it's kind of the same in God's eyes as the foot saying, well, I don't know why I'm on this body. Or if you sit there, you know, and say, well, you know, I don't think anyone cares whether I'm here or not. Well, that's kind of like your nose looking at the ear and saying, well, yeah, you know, it's two of you, and you get all the attention, you get to hear everything. What do I get to do? You say, well, that's silly. Well, in God's eyes, it's silly for a church member to be looking around saying, well, I don't have a purpose. Well, yeah, you do. I mean, every part of our body has a purpose, and God designed it specifically. Did you know when God designed Kazzato Baptist Temple, and if you're a member at this church, and praise the Lord for those, you know, Lord willing, and, you know, Lord willing, you know, when Tony gets saved and baptized next week, he becomes a member of this church. I don't care whether he rides the bus or whatever, right? He becomes a member of this church. Did you know God placed him here and it pleased him to do so? And he has a purpose. And our responsibility is to see to it that he gets discipled and taught and continues to grow. And we see him. I would love to see Tony teaching a Sunday school class one day. It's exciting to say, can that really happen? Well, it was really cool today to see RJ being an usher. Amen. If you don't remember, he was Raul, who was a handful in junior church. I don't know if you remember those days, all right? Yeah, Raul was rough, man. All right, Raul was, he was that kid that was always sitting either by Brother Wilson or somebody, right? He was just wiry, bad kid. Today he ushered in church. Had a tie on. Doesn't miss. Amen? We have no idea. God has a purpose for him. God has a purpose for you tonight. If you're a member of this church, God didn't make a mistake putting you here. Amen. God didn't make a mistake. You're not an 11th finger. You're exactly where you should be. You say, well, I'm not doing anything. Well, then perhaps you should be. There's been times in my life when parts of my body didn't work either. When I hurt my back and I couldn't move, things weren't working like they should be. And you know what? That little bitty disc in the back of my back affected my entire body. And if you sit here tonight and you say, when you're a member of the church, and you sit here and say, well, I just don't know what good I am. Well, quit being like that stubborn ear. Quit being like that stubborn nose. And just jump in there and do what God created you to do. So what am I supposed to do? Well, the context of the chapter. He gave you gifts. Use the gifts for his glory. You see a needed diversity. Then you see a normal diversity. In verse number 19 to 20, it says, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. If we all had the same gift, things wouldn't be right. But God has led us to become part, to serve a purpose. Christ is the head, and we all have a part. And God will add to the church through the waters of baptism. God sometimes will send people our way, and praise the Lord for it. I've said it before, God does move people, and he moves as it pleases him. But I will say this, just to throw it out there, right? If God moves you, he'll direct you. God never in his Bible just leads to oblivion. God never just says go wander out there, because it's God's intention that we be part of a church. You know, if God didn't move people, I'd still be in Jacksonville, Florida in a mess. But God has moved, and I'm glad he's moved. But the fact is this, if God does move me, I should have direction from the Lord where I'm going and why I'm going. Amen. I'm trying to give you truth here tonight, all right? Because we live in a world today where people just get mad and just go from church to church to church. That's not God's plan. Usually what happens is, now look at me, usually they sit around in a church and they pull out of every activity, and then they sit around and they don't feel like they're being used, or they don't feel like they're important, and pretty soon they start disappearing and they miss services, and pretty soon they start feeling in themselves, well, I just need to find somewhere where I can be used. Well, maybe God put you where you should be used, but you're not doing what God told you to do. Amen! I'll amen it because that was good preaching right there, right? Amen! Wherever God places you, serve him. Where God has placed you. Now, will he move? Sure, at times. I don't think it's near as much as what everybody's doing out there. But when God moves you, he'll direct you. And you'll know. And by the way, people have left here. And when it's right, we can all hug their neck and say, boy, I'll miss you. But man, go on and do what God told you to do. There's a young man coming our way. He introduced you to you tonight and Friday night. Right? He's out of Hunt Valley Baptist Church in Maryland. His church is having a big old thing for him in the middle of June. They're having a big old reception and hugging his neck and saying, boy, God has led you to go serve at Kazzato Baptist Temple. We are thrilled. We're excited. I talked to their pastor. He's so excited about what God's doing with that young man. And he said, man, he said, we're going to have a big old party for him. Love on him and tell him we love him and go serve God. When God's in it, everybody can do that. It's when you have to sneak out the back door and slightly disappear and make sure no one knows about it, makes a big deal out of it, something's not right. Amen. You're all loving this. You're making me want to preach a whole lot more tonight, all right? So, all right. That's just the truth. You see, a needed diversity. You see, understanding of the body. Understanding of the body. We saw, go back and give us our points here, all right? We saw the unity of the body, the uniqueness of the body, and now the understanding of the body in verse number 21. It says there in verse number 21, it says there, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now, in the first case, you know, the nose was feeling like no one cared about it, or the foot was caring like no one never saw it, and it was not important. And that was ridiculous. Now, in this case, the hand, if you will, I'll use the same illustration, the hand can't look at the foot and say, I wish you'd leave. And church members should never do that either. In verse number 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You see here, understanding of the body, you see some things that should be absent from the body. Say, what should be absent from the body? Number one, in verse 21, contention. We ought to love each other. We ought to want to try to help each other. We ought to not be fighting amongst each other. And again, I praise the Lord to the best of my knowledge. I don't know of any disharmony going on. I don't know of anyone fighting, and it's been that way for quite a while, and all I can say is to God be the glory for it, and may, as long as we keep our eyes focused on the Lord, there will always be unity. But be warned, it can happen. It shouldn't, but it can. And contention should not be in the Lord's churches. Verse number 22 to 24, neither should there be contempt. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Some don't see the importance, maybe, of others. But God knows. And many times you don't realize the importance until it's hurting or gone. I doubt most of us in the auditorium have stopped and thanked our liver today. I doubt it. If you have, you either had a problem or you're kind of weird, right? Right? But most of us didn't get up this morning and say, well, thank you, liver. So proud of you, liver. Way to keep on filtering you, liver, right? You keep doing your job, liver. We didn't eat supper today or lunch today and sit there and say, all right, liver, you do your thing. You go, liver, right? And we don't think about it. Not even on our mind. Until something's wrong. Most people that's ever had a heart condition didn't really think much about their heart. Until it quit. I mean, so we have all kinds of uncomely parts that are not seen, not heard. They're just doing their thing. We don't ever thank them. We don't think much about them. Until something happens. And the church may be that way too. Probably shouldn't be. But we're going to have more comely parts in the church. There's going to be those who, you know, are just doing what they're supposed to do. What God called them to do. No one's ever up plotting them. No one's ever putting their name on the screen. No one's ever, you know, writing thank you notes. They're just doing what God called them to do. You know, there's probably some people who, this past Christmas, I guarantee our missionaries. You know, every one of our missionaries was sent a Christmas card by Mrs. Hiles. Every year, for how long? 40 years. Every Christmas season, they got all of our missionaries' addresses and wrote them all a Christmas card and sent it to them. They didn't come this Christmas. Because she's in heaven. And sometimes we don't realize what blessing people are until either they're hurting or they're gone. And I want to encourage the church to stop and look around tonight. Be thankful. Be thankful for those who play these instruments and lead the choir and fix the bus and drives the bus. But also don't forget to be thankful for those who always pray for every one of us every day. And those who come on Thursday when no one else is here and cleans the auditorium. And those who go and makes the visit to the shut-in that no one ever knows about. Every part is important. And it's important for us to be thankful and then not have contention, not have content. You see what should be absent, but then what should be apparent in the body in verse 25 and 26. There should be mutual accord, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. We should all care about each other. And if someone has a need in the church, we should all be concerned. If someone's grieving, we should all grieve. If someone's rejoicing, we should all rejoice. If someone's blessed with a raise at work and they come in a new car that God's blessed them with, we all rejoice with them. If someone's lost their job and their health and they need transportation, we should be the first to go pick them up. Because we care for the body. We help each other. And the fact is this, there ought to be a mutual accord amongst us and a mutual acclaim. In verse number 26, and the last part, if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. No matter what it is, these things should be apparent. And I close with this in verse number 27, what should be affirmed by the body. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. I want you to see just two things as we close. Number one, how personal this is. Now ye are the body of Christ. You. If I had time, I'd go around to every member tonight and say, you. You are part of this body. And God wants you to use your gifts. There's so many, we talked about the gifts, we'll talk more about them in the next few chapters. Some it's that gift of teaching and being up in front of people, and some it's that gift of giving. No one else ever knows about. But whatever it is, you have been placed by God. Ye are the body of Christ. And then you see it's not only personal, but you see something very positive. And members in particular. God has a plan for you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God has a plan for you. To every teenager sitting in here tonight, to every child sitting in here, everybody in my Sunday school class, to Brother Slee's Young Mary class, here in the auditorium, all of our adults, God has a plan just for you. If God leads you to be part of this body, that's exciting. Anytime God adds through the waters of baptism or God sends someone our way, that is exciting and thrilling. Because God has a plan. They are a member in particular. Maybe you've been discouraged lately, and the devil keeps whispering in your ear and you're starting to think. And the devil is good at that. He's good at discouragement. He's good at convincing us that no one cares. He's good at making us think that we're not important. And he is a liar. He's a liar. If God's placed you where you are, at Winchester Baptist Church, Brother Cassidy is a member in particular. And God has used him to be sent out, to be a missionary sent out of that church. That's exciting. That's thrilling. Pastor Bankhead's a good friend. God has a member in particular. There are people in that church, faithful, who God has placed there, and they're members in particular. We at our church, we have our Brother Harris's, our Brother Roberts, and then we have our Miss Mara, who plays the piano on Sunday morning. We have Miss Tobbs, who's been teaching her Sunday school class. I remember when she was first asked, she did not want to do that. But God gave her a gift. She's been faithful since. God has a purpose. Brother Napier goes and picks up David every week. He's a member in particular. Brother Habel got our buses ready this week for inspection. One passed, and now the other one's ready. He had to get some help from Brother Doug. And all these members in particular work together for the body. Some people played an instrument. Some people led the choir. Everyone is important. Some, I know, some of our shut-ins, couldn't make it today. But I know for a fact that they're watching right now. And they've been praying. God speak to hearts today. God save a soul today. Members in particular. As time goes on, I'm not able to work maybe like you used to. My leg right now doesn't work like it did 24 hours ago, right? But as time goes on, you slow down, can't do what you used to. Now, my back doesn't do what it used to do, but I'm not really wanting to get rid of it. I still want to use it for the glory of God. Wherever you're at in life, understand this. If you're part of a body, you're important. Use your gifts for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings.